Chapter 9. Gordon Wei lay on the ground, unclear about what to do. He was dead. There seemed little doubt about that. There was a horrific hole in his chest, but the blood that was gobbing out of it had slowed to a trickle. Otherwise, there was no movement from his chest at all, or indeed from any other part of him. He looked up, and from side to side, and it became clear to him that whatever part of him it was that was moving, it wasn't any part of his body. The mist rolled slowly over him, and explained nothing. At a few feet distant from him, his shotgun lay smoking quietly in the grass. He continued to lie there, like someone lying awake at 4 o'clock in the morning, unable to put their mind at rest, but unable to find anything to do with it. He realized that he had just had something of a shock, which might account for his inability to think clearly, but didn't account for his ability actually to think at all. In the great debate that has raged for centuries about what, if anything, happens to you after death, be it heaven, hell, purgatory, or extinction, one thing has never been in doubt: that you would at least know the answer when you were dead. Gordon Wei was dead, but he simply hadn't the faintest idea what he was meant to do about it. It wasn't a situation he had encountered before. He sat up. The body that sat up seemed as real to him as the body that still lay slowly cooling on the ground, giving up its blood heat in wraiths of steam that mingled with the mist of the chill night air. Experimenting a bit further, he tried standing up, slowly, wonderingly, and wobblingly. The ground seemed to give him support, it took his weight, but then, of course, he appeared to have no weight that needed to be taken. When he bent to touch the ground, he could feel nothing save a kind of distant, rubbery resistance, like the sensation you get if you try and pick something up when your arm has gone dead. His arm had gone dead, his legs too, and his other arm, and all his torso, and his head. His body was dead. He could not say why his mind was not. He stood in a kind of frozen, sleepless horror, while the mist curled slowly through him. He looked back down at the him, the ghastly, astonished-looking him-thing, lying still and mangled on the ground, and his flesh wanted to creep. Or rather, he wanted flesh that could creep. He wanted flesh, he wanted body. He had none. A sudden cry of horror escaped from his mouth, but was nothing and went nowhere. He shook and felt nothing. Music and a pool of light seeped from his car. He walked towards it. He tried to walk sturdily, but it was a faint and feeble kind of walking, uncertain and, well, insubstantial. The ground felt frail beneath his feet. The door of the car was still open on the driver's side, as he had left it when he had leapt out to deal with the boot lid, thinking he'd only be 2 seconds. That was all of 2 minutes ago now, when he'd been alive. When he'd been a person. When he'd thought he was going to be leaping straight back in and driving off, 2 minutes and a lifetime ago. This was insane, wasn't it? He thought suddenly. He walked around the door and bent down to peer into the external rear-view mirror.